Hey, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman back here on the Between the Ropes podcast. We are back from New Orleans. I think Michael and I are both kind of still recovering, still trying to catch up on sleep and just our lives in general, and especially when it comes to me, because luckily my wife is so fantastic, Mike, that I guess I didn't get my fill of wrestling when I was in New Orleans. So my first night back, I decided to go to the NXT tapings.
You like to live life dangerously there, Fritzy. You are living life on the, excuse me.
Wow.
Yeah, no, you know what? North Carolina sucks, man. Come back to this damn state, damn Tar Heel state, and I got like pollen everywhere. Trees are trying to procreate and they're putting off all their tree sperm all over the cars and outside.
I know. I got a little tickle in my throat, too. I'm hoping to fend it off. I don't know. I was sneezing a little bit earlier. It's like you're okay when you're on the trip, but the second that you try to get back to normal, your body's like, oh, wait, what you've been doing was not normal. So I'm going to make you sick.
Yeah, I spent the first night, like, I slept okay the first night, but I think I was still hopped up from, because you left later than me on Tuesday. We both flew back on Tuesday. You left later than me.
I left later on Tuesday.
Yeah, I left at the crack of dawn, as they say, before God. I had my Uber pick me up outside of our Airbnb at around 5:15, and then flew out at 7:30. Flew to Kansas City. I didn't have a direct flight.
Did you get some barbecue while you were there?
Yeah, I stayed on the plane. It was a five-hour flight back. A little bit of backstory. My flight out, direct flight to New Orleans from Raleigh, North Carolina, was a 2.5-hour flight, or actually less than that. Flight back home was a 5-hour flight. I had a layover. Luckily, I didn't have to get off the plane. I could stay on the Southwest airline, but I did fly to Kansas City before coming home. It was just a little bit of misery, and I think that I was just hopped up because I'd had 5-hour energy that morning, and I had a Monster energy drink or whatever, and so it wasn't until last night that I finally got some real sleep.
I will say this, though. I did make a mistake, and I wish that I had gone your route and flew early, because I could have flown really early in the morning. I don't know what the difference in price was for the flight, but I had a super cheap flight to fly at night. However, I did not plan accordingly, because the place we were staying at, come to find out, could not hold my bags late. So I had to get my bags and go to the airport. I mean, I had a big piece of luggage, and then I had a carry-on, and then I had a backpack. So it's not like I could just walk around New Orleans with all this. So I got to spend about 7 hours at the New Orleans airport Tuesday. And the Wi-Fi there is atrocious, shall we say. Another way to
did you fly back through Southwest?
Yes, I did.
That is okay. Okay. So not to get, I'm not going to get
it was a nonstop flight. It's just the problem was I decided to take a 9 p.m. flight because I couldn't get my bags held anywhere. I got to the airport. It was 3:00 in the afternoon. No, it might have been earlier than that even. But like I didn't even think about it. Like I went to the lines to check in my luggage, and I go away to the front. And they're like, you can't check in your luggage until 4 hours to your flight. So I had to go someplace. Dude, I'm serious, man. By the way, while I'm seeing that line to check in my luggage that I cannot check in yet, Elias walked right by. Who wants to walk with Elias? Yeah, he walked right by. And then so then I found out I can't check in my luggage. I had to go find a place and sit for another 2 or so hours. And while I was doing that, like Big Cass walked by, Christian walked by, Mike Rome walked by, and I'm just sitting there, and like my cell service is like at one bar. I was on the internet for a few minutes, and then it went down. I couldn't even stay on it, and it was just a disaster. And then finally, I could go check in my bags, go inside, you know, my gate and everything. And I got over there, and like the food situation was horrible. Like you go to Subway, and like, we're out of steak and cheese. Oh, we're out of meatball. Oh, and then you find a sub that you want. Then you about to pay, and they're like, oh, the credit card machine just went down. I literally, I'm not even making this up, like, I had my sub rolled up, and it was in a bag, right? Like, they give you, they wrap it up, and I had it sitting on the counter, and the guy in front of me was trying to pay. Credit card machine wouldn't work. I left my sub right there and just walked away.
That's what I was going to ask you. You flew back through Southwest, so you saw how terrible, absolutely atrocious that terminal was in New Orleans.
Oh my God, I mean, dude! I spent 4 hours in that terminal. Dude, I had to go to the Taco Lab to eat. It was okay, but the thing
the
was
Taco Lab.
Dude,
what is the Taco?
There was a place called Taco Lab there. So like after the Subway debacle, I'm hungry. I go to Taco Lab to get a taco or to get a burrito or something. I go over there and I go, yeah, I'll get the pork and a burrito. And they're like, we're out of pork. I'm like, is this whole terminal out of food? What the hell's
it was
going
a terrible
on?
Terminal. Well, see, I was there for the morning time, right? And so I was going to get breakfast there. Except the only thing that was open was Subway, and they were serving like full on sandwiches at 6:30 in the morning. And you could get like your steak and your steak and cheese and whatever else. I'm like, I don't want a whole damn sub this early in the morning. Also, and I'm not going to get crass here, but that terminal was so busy, I walked to like three different bathrooms before I finally was able to not have to stand in line.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know what was going on. And it was dirty. It was dingy. It was just, I flew out of Raleigh, and Raleigh is a great airport to fly out of because the terminals are small. But God, that was a atrocious one. But I got to give you props, Brian, because despite your difficulties actually traveling back, you got some pretty huge kudos from somebody in New Orleans. This is a review that was left for you on the, you stole my thunder a little bit in our pre-show. I was going to surprise you with this, but, I'm going to bring it up anyway. our Airbnb host left you this glowing review. Let me read this on the air. Brian and group were fantastic. He left the apartment in impeccable. And by the way, group includes myself and our good buddy, Stu, from the Two Guys Talk Sports podcast.
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Oh, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Yeah, that's, I'm sorry. Sleep deprived. Stu's going to kill me for that one. The Sports Guys Talking Wrestling podcast, straight out of Austin, Texas. Okay, so this is, Brian and group are fantastic. He left the apartment in impeccable condition. He washed towels, linens, etc., and it certainly wasn't necessary to do so. I can assure any Airbnb host that your place will be taken well care of if Brian is staying there.
I did talk to Reggie before I left because I wanted to clean the place up. I didn't know what was acceptable and what was not. I had some downtime, so I did clean the place up. And I just figured I'd try to leave it in the same condition as when we got there. And he did thank me for that. He even asked if I was in the military. And he wondered that's how I did it or not, which
no.
But he was just like, you didn't have to do all that. And I was like, oh, no problem. You know, now, and then it was funny because we had that conversation. And then when I got back, like I saw that review and I'm going to tell you right now, if you're listening to this and you just stayed in the same Airbnb as we did. Those towels that Reggie said were washed, they were not washed. They were just folded up and put by the sink. They were not washed. Those were used by myself, Michael, and Stu. So hope you enjoyed that.
I mean, I will give you, if you had to use one of those towels, it's not the worst thing in the world because I did use them after I showered. So while they were, around my nether regions, they were clean nether regions. Somebody talking to this conversation the other day at work, people were saying that I just can't stay at an Airbnb. Like, what if they have a video camera and they're recording me? So what? Does anybody want to see this version of Dad Bod? Was that conversation with you?
No.
Was that with you? Okay. No. Okay.
Like, I mean, the same thing could happen if you were at a hotel, somebody could set up a camera. I mean, come on. No, the Airbnb was great. It was a great location. I mean,
but listen, if it happens at an Airbnb, though, you can like post it to one of those sites as an amateur video, right?
Sure, right now. Like, just voyeuristic porn out there, man. Yeah, why not? No, overall, it was a really good trip. You know, we stayed for Raw. We didn't stay for SmackDown. We decided to get out of Dodge. We both got to spend some quality time. Some more than others at the lovely New Orleans airport. And by the way, I didn't realize this, but I found this out last night. New Orleans is about to open a new airport like next year. Like, I guess it's right there next to the old one that we flew out of. Like, it's 80% done. I think it's supposed to open like next summer.
Damn WWE getting there a year early.
I know, right? I blame them for all of this. I know that New Orleans was celebrating their 300th anniversary. Year anniversary, and that's why the city wanted the show so bad, but come on.
Can I get a quick plug in here? If you're listening to this, we appreciate it, but I just want to, if you haven't yet listened to our WrestleMania review, Brian and I did record this. It's so heartbreaking being across Skype from you, Brian, because we were recording podcasts and doing shows and videos together all weekend long.
In bed together, in fact.
Even in bed together. Even though we had other beds, we had to record a podcast in bed together. But I do want to say that our Mania review, which capped in right at 3 hours long, Mania NXT, talked a little bit about New Orleans, what we recorded this past Monday, is a really great, I think it's a really great, if you're new to us especially, a really great capture of what we do on this show week in and week out. I think there's a lot of good content in there. We talk a lot about the pay-per-view, what it means, every match, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, some of our predictions will now be outdated, but by and large, the show itself stands on its own. So please go back and listen to that WrestleMania review and our NXT review if you haven't had a chance yet, because a lot of good content in there. And I'm really proud of that. Also, all the work we did all weekend long together, Brian, we put live videos on Facebook, facebook.com/between the ropes. And of course, the interviews you did Sunday morning that I produced, or Friday morning. God, my days are all screwed up. The interviews we did at Radio Row Friday morning with Aleister Black, Ember Moon. We had Mickey James over there, and a few other WWE and NXT superstars. Those are on our YouTube page, youtube.com/between the ropes. We just a lot of great content over the weekend. Please check it out if you have not had a chance to yet.
Before we talk about Raw and SmackDown, one important note here, okay? Have you already framed? And if so, where is the Tommy Wiseau The Room poster hanging in your house?
I have not framed it yet, and my wife and I are having the ongoing discussion about what is the appropriate place to put it. Mm. I believe putting it front and center in the living room, and she believes front and center in the closet downstairs.
Oh, no. What size poster is it? Is it 24 by 36?
I haven't measured it yet. I think it is. I think it's smaller than, 27 by 40 is typical movie poster
right
size.
So I think it's 24 by 36. Yeah, because yeah, I gotta go get my frame for mine, man. I had Mike, you carried yours with you. Mm-hmm. I had to mail mine back to me. It's true. We met Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero, and I got the autograph poster, and I had to ship it back to myself because I didn't have enough space with me.
Yeah, I did on the it fit perfectly in the little carryover bins in Southwest. So.
Perfect. Well, we were at Raw on Monday night. We got to stick around New Orleans for an extra day. And as has been typical for the post-WrestleMania edition of Raw, we got to see some NXT call-ups. Ember Moon was on the show. My bold prediction from earlier in the day of No Way Jose did, in fact, happen. And the Authors of Pain were on the show. And then we also saw Jeff Hardy returned from injury, and Bobby Lashley returned to WWE that night. By the way, I had been pestering yourself and our friend Joe all day about the big debut of No Way Jose, and I did not have any insider information. It was like a running joke that we were doing, and at one point we did like a Facebook Live video where I talked about it, and I even said, I go, we're in New Orleans. I'm like, they're going to have a big conga line. They're going to do everything for No Way. And then they did it. They did all of that. It was ridiculous that of all of the predictions I'm going to make, I was dead on right about that one. And then you gave me the compliment of you and Vince McMahon are on the same wavelength.
Huge props to you there. I mean, it was either him come out Monday night or he was in the audience looking over his shoulder at Braun Strowman. He could have been the tag team partner for Braun Strowman on Sunday night, and Braun Strowman would not have had to relinquish the titles on Monday. So, No Way Jose picked a spot, though, came out Monday night. And I got to say, I could not be more disappointed in this debut. It was my concern and my fear from the beginning when you were making this prediction. He came out to no buzz. It was completely flat. The first couple of rows were dancing and whatever, but then what I heard afterwards, everybody talking about was Adam Rose version 2.0. And No Way Jose got a very convincing win against, I guess, local talent.
Yeah.
Right. But otherwise, I felt like this was a very bad way for him to kind of debut to the mainstream audience. And I worry that he's going to have to work really hard to recover from this.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, he debuted. It is what it is. He was on the show. He did two moves. I mean, that was all it is. He did two moves. So it's like it was no big deal. And, No Way Jose's out there. Ember Moon had a better debut, I thought. That was nice that she teamed up with Nia Jax and she actually got a victory. She pinned Alexa Bliss. Authors of Pain are in the what are they calling that? Is it the tag team challenge series, because they can't call it a tournament for God's sake. Right. So they're involved in that. And then, like I said, Jeff Hardy is back. There's a lot of questions about what they were going to do with Jeff because he had the DUI recently, but Jeff is a big star. They must feel good about him and everything. And they brought him out there to, some big applause. And I'm assuming they got some pretty big things for Jeff Hardy coming up here. And then they brought back Lashley. I didn't like the way they reintroduced Lashley from the standpoint they did it at the expense of Elias, who was the most over guy that night on the show. I think they could have done something with Kurt Hawkins That would have been a little bit more, or just as effective. And you could have had fun with Curt Hawkins and you're not destroying a guy, but he decided to do Elias.
Well, and I think the Bobby Lashley debut fell a little bit flat. I mean, we kind of knew Authors of Pain were coming back. I think Ember Moon was the one who got probably the biggest rub because she came out there and then had a lengthy match and won. So that looked really nice. And then Jeff Hardy, on his return, was kind of propped up as the main eventer here. I think they wanted him to look good and look like he is ready to kind of cash in and moving forward in a singles career. But that Bobby Lashley debut, I get that it was against Elias, but it, you know, Bobby Lashley's a former main eventer and a future main eventer, if you want to look at it that way. And to have him kind of come out in this squash match, I think maybe they are seeing Elias as the big talent here. And so for Bobby Lashley to come out and win this match is a big deal. But I would love to have seen Bobby Lashley come out against, even against The Miz, I think could have been special. I just have this issue with the way they bring up talent. And I said this even before the show, the night after Mania, the night after Mania and even SmackDown after Mania, the way they bring up talent and don't immediately interject them into bigger storylines. And I know that we're kind of putting everything on pause before the Superstar Shakeup next week, but I feel like if you're going to bring people up, bring them up with a purpose, give them something to sink their teeth into, so that way they're not just up here for a few weeks with nothing to do. They make an impact immediately, and the audience wants to know more about them, much like they did with Samoa Joe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, you got to give them something to do to where they're meaningful. They have a reason for being there. You're not going to get lost in the shuffle right off the bat, which is something that I'm certain the guys are always afraid of because those are stacked rosters right now. You want to do something that's impactful so you don't get lost in the shuffle, because the second that happens, man, it can be really tough to recover from that. You know, when it comes to Lashley too, I mean, he was playing the role of a babyface out there, and I'm a little bit surprised by that, just from the standpoint that his best work has been proven, especially when he was with Impact, to be a heel. I mean, he's a much better performer overall since being there, and his best work has been as a heel. And then they bring him back here, and I'm not saying he's not going to be a heel. I mean, I don't think we've really known yet. It sure seemed like he was a babyface the other night, but that might just be like, he's debuting, and in a couple of weeks we could do something differently with him, but I don't want to see him remain as a babyface. I'm not saying that he can't be good at it necessarily, but I just think you play to people's strengths, and his strength is playing a heel.
Yeah, definitely agree. And especially for a guy, I mean, it's been long enough. Bobby Lashley hasn't been in WWE in what, 8-9 years?
It's been a while, yeah.
And you have a lot of fans now, I want to throw my wife into this mix, where Bobby Lashley comes out and she's like, I think I'm supposed to know who this guy is, but I don't know who he is. And so I wish there had been a little bit more story told there. I know that they did make reference to it on the announce team side. There's more they could have done with Bobby Lashley instead of, look, Bobby Lashley's back, here we go. You know, I just...
Yeah, he's been gone for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. It doesn't even feel like... I mean, it feels like it's been a while, but 10 years.
I mean, I think you could have, especially even if you brought him back as a heel, pair him up with Braun Strowman. Do something there. That could be a fun feud.
I mean, Strowman needs a tag team partner if he wants to go for the gold again.
I mean, he could reach out to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, although I think they're looking for work at the Impact Wrestling charity line. Is that what's going on?
No, they're looking for work at TNA, to be more
TNA.
Specific. What a pop that got, man. Like, you know, when Kurt Angle goes, oh, I hear that TNA is looking for work or looking for talent right now. And it was just like, wow, you know, but, yeah. And I know a lot of people were like, they're not even called Impact Wrestling or TNA anymore. They're Impact Wrestling. So what? We all know what they were talking about. I mean, that's the first time I think we've ever heard that company mentioned on their television.
By name. I mean, they've referenced before guys have been champions in former organizations.
Well, they did. Remember on the network, on the Edge and Christian show, they did AJ Styles. And they were talking about the place he used to work, and they said TNA, but it was like, you know, with Test and Albert, you know, as they're playing it off kind of like that kind of thing.
Well, and if you remember, Bobby Roode did, he did leave Global Force Wrestling, which was associated with TNA, to come make a pit stop at NXT for a couple of weeks before
going
back.
Oh, my God. Former WWE star Bobby Roode is here at Global Force Wrestling. I'm like, no.
I mean, you know, you look at this Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn segment. Of course, that segment, they were talking to Kurt, and he gave him a match, and they wrestled to a count out. That would have been a great place for them to put Bobby Lashley in there. You know, have them having this great match, and then Bobby Lashley debuts, and beats the crap out of both of them, interrupts this fantastic match, and gets a little bit of heat. I would have liked that angle.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Let me throw out an idea, and I'm not saying that this is a great idea. I want some feedback on this, okay? Because So when we did after TakeOver last Saturday night, we got to go and be part of this press conference with Triple H, right? And I asked him this question about, in the past, he had referenced that he wants to get to a point where Raw, SmackDown, and NXT are all considered basically the same, on the same level. And you could see talents kind of move around. And I asked him if they were closer to that now. And he said, well, you know, he kind of gave this answer about that, but he went into like, you know what, talent shouldn't stay at the same place anyway. You know, they didn't always do that, especially back in the territories. You get stale, you know, you want to move around. To stay at a place for 10 years is just, it's absurd, you know, to do that now. He goes, if I was on the main roster, you know, I would want to maybe, if I wasn't working out the way I wanted to on the main roster, I would want to go to NXT, be part of the hot brand, freshen up and see if I could repackage or, you know, work on some different things, whatnot, right?
And he said that, he added to that, WWE internally definitely sees SmackDown, Raw, and NXT. And I don't know if he's talking about himself or Vince McMahon or whoever it was. I think he reflects this, but they definitely see those three brands as different territories.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the question I have. Okay, so you're doing the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens angle right now where they get fired from SmackDown. They had the match on Monday night where the winner was going to get a contract, but neither of them won, so neither of them got the contract. Do you think we could see them in NXT?
It's a different beast because they tape in advance and
right. The
way those storylines would have to match up, you know, I don't know. I think it would be weird to have them come back next week and be drafted to one brand or the other after this big deal about them getting fired. I think the storyline here is how do they get back in? But to make that timing work, it kind of reminds me of the old Marvel movies versus Marvel TV show and why they don't always overlap very much. To make the timing work for them to be on NXT, I don't think it'd be a lengthy run on NXT. It would have to lead to an eventual return for them to the main roster right now.
Yeah.
Because I think, to your point, NXT is not yet big enough. I think Triple H wants it to be, but it's not quite there, where if they were on NXT week in, week out, I think they would see it. I think most fans would see it as a step back for these two.
Well, the other thing is, too, I would worry if they did something like that, they would overshadow the talent in NXT right now too much.
Yeah,
they're still big stars. You know, there's an ongoing storyline, and just see where it goes. But what it was funny because like when they brought that up, I was just like, well, they can't get a TNA necessarily, but what if they went to NXT for like just a, you know, a quick cup of coffee? But I was at the tapings on Wednesday night and they were not there.
I mean, it could be something like they show up at Evolve at an event, right? That'd be pretty cool.
They could do that. They do have a working relationship with Revolve.
Sami Zayn, what was he billed at Monday night? Like 210 or something like that, right?
Just I know.
Knock 5 pounds off of there. Put Finn Balor in the Superstar Shakeup at 205 Live. 205 Live will be more alive than ever if you do that.
Kevin's going to have trouble making the 205 late weight.
Well, listen, he can join the TNA X division. There are no weight limits.
It's not about weight limits. It's about no limits.
You're the one talking the other night about his penchant for wanting to get Big Macs and double cheeseburgers when the rest of the roster is trying to cut weight and be lean.
Kevin Owens, like, he brags about that. He's like, we get done with this show. Yeah. Oh, you can't find a place to eat. You got to be picky about your diet or whatever. I can just go to Mickey D's, grab a couple double cheeseburgers. I'm good, man.
Dude, I tell you, though, the thing about it is he may not look the bodybuilder part. He has size. He has bulk. And it's not, I don't want to say fat, but he has bulk and size.
Right.
But he is so athletic. I take nothing away from him. Stamina is great. He gets out there. He gets physical. And he's much like Samoa Joe, and I'll say Bray Wyatt to a lesser extent here. Those guys can be big, but they can still go, and that's what matters.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I don't care about that when it comes to, I mean, all shapes, all sizes. You know, I mean, I'll take another guy. Look at Cassius Ohno. I mean, people can make fun of him all they want about his weight. You know, that dude can move. He's arguably a better wrestler when he's heavy, because it's amazing to watch that guy move around as fluidly as he does. I mean, he's great. I mean, what he does. So, you know, I'm not going to take that away. I mean, like I said, different shapes, different sizes. You know, not everybody needs to look the same. We don't need cardboard cutouts of everybody all over the place.
Got the star-belly sneeches and the non-star-belly sneeches, so yeah. Whatever you need.
So also on Raw, we...
did you even get that reference? I figured that went below your radar.
That went over my head is what it did, man.
Dr. Seuss.
Oh, is that what that was?
The Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
Yep.
So we saw Paige on Raw. She gave a retirement speech, which it's funny, like we caught up with Paige over the weekend and we got a whole like 90 seconds with her because some Yahoo decided to open the doors to access early that night and let fans in. So we're over there on the side and you can see PR and WWE staff, the sweat rolling down their faces. We're trying to do this interview and here come the fans, you know, and they're like, oh my God, they're going to mob us. They're going to, you know, get their hands on Paige or something, go crazy. So we couldn't really delve into too much with Paige. And it was funny because one of the things I was going to ask her was any update about your health? And I didn't get a chance to. And then on Monday, she gave the retirement speech on Raw where she has said she's got a neck injury. It's not going to allow her to continue with her in-ring career. And she got emotional about it, but she said, hey, there's life after this and whatnot.
And which is weird. I mean, it was a weird thing to happen on Monday Night Raw. I get that it's probably your biggest Raw audience of the year, potentially. But we were talking about this 3 months ago, right?
Right.
I think it was January when the news came out that she'd been injured and this could be the end of her career. And so for them to wait this long and then have this speech, the timing just felt so odd. Now, I speculated that they were doing some kind of WWE 24/7 type dealio with her because camera crews were with her all weekend. And all they would say is that it is a documentary crew for the network and, you know, maybe for the movie or whatever. So it was so strange Monday night, but then what happened Tuesday night?
You know what? I didn't even think about that because they are doing a 24/7 on Paige. Mm-hmm. And typically when we do those interviews, we don't get asked to sign waivers. Because I started thinking about it. I was just like, oh, it's because they're doing like a video on Access or just WrestleMania week, right? That makes
it was only for Paige that we signed. We didn't sign it for Adam Cole.
That makes a lot more sense that they're doing that for Paige. I didn't even think about that.
Well, especially if you are parlaying that into the story of her having to go from, this is the way they'll frame it in the documentary, guarantee it, going from the low of Monday night to the high of Tuesday night.
Right, because she is now the new general manager of SmackDown. And it fits to put her on there because, I mean, the speech that she gave on Monday, I really came away from that saying, well, not only does she have to retire, but she's leaving WWE. She's leaving the company. She's going to go do something else, right? And typically that's what happens on these retirements too.
We kind of assume, because they took her music and gave Absolution that music on their own this time.
Right. And and instead, we're out there on Tuesday to begin the show, and Shane McMahon's like, well, we got a new GM, and it's Paige. And I'm like, oh, how about that? And, you know, it fits for her standpoint because it keeps her still active in WWE, and she's a good talker, and it brings in another dynamic with having a female, you know, in a power position to go against Shane McMahon, you know, running the show. So I was all for it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they partner this up with, you know, Kurt Angle on Raw and how they play out the competition, because Kurt Angle and Daniel Bryan really did have great chemistry. I think when they were together and they'd interact, it was always fun to see these two ex-wrestlers at the time kind of jawing back and forth. So putting Paige into that role, especially because she's younger, she's not as senior in the wrestling biz. It reminds me a little bit of back when they did AJ Styles as the GM of Raw before they kind of just turned her crazy. Again, maybe because it's just another woman in this position, but I think women's empowerment, it's a good call. I hope they do more with this. I hope she is able to kind of embrace this role and really, you know, she said Monday night she's going to still try to find ways to heal up and get better. But I really do hope she's dedicated to embracing this role, kind of making the most of it, being really professional in this position. You know, she's had some controversies in the past. Hopefully all of that is behind her. And I think, too, it makes a lot of sense from the live crowd perspective. This is the one night of the year, other than if you had done this announcement overseas, which is a possibility, but it's the one night of the year you have more UK fans in attendance here in America than any other night, Monday night and Tuesday night. So they definitely pop for that louder than just a generic American audience would have, I think. I said on Twitter that WWE, it was a game time decision between Paige and Dixie Carter, and they assumed that Paige would probably get the better reaction from the UK fans. So,
well, let's talk about also one of the other, and this is the big thing that was going on over the weekend, is come the end of WrestleMania, we were all surprised when Brock Lesnar left as the Universal Champion, and he defeated Roman Reigns in the main event. And
we weren't the only ones surprised.
Everybody was like, huh? And I think there was a lot of people that had no clue whatsoever that this was going to happen. Even people within WWE did not have any kind of idea that this was going to take place. And then on Monday, as we were going to Raw. We were on our way over there, and then we got the email that said Brock Lesnar has resigned with WWE. Like, even in fact, here's the message we got, because we got a press release from them, and it said WWE Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon announced today Brock Lesnar has resigned with WWE. Lesnar's next appearance is scheduled for the Greatest Royal Rumble event, where he will compete against Roman Reigns in a steel cage Universal Championship match in Saudi Arabia. And we were like, what the what? You know, like, what just happened here? And then you, on Monday night, you've got Roman Reigns who comes out there and he cuts like this really weird promo where...
A very insiderish,
very,
promo,
very much, man, because he's referencing, you know, Brock re-signing and everything. He's like, you know, I got my ass kicked. But then he said, the thing that eats me up the most is that Vince McMahon couldn't even look me in the eye, couldn't even smart me up. He said there was people whispering behind his back all day. And he said that Lesnar's a hell of a businessman. And he goes, I got another match against Lesnar now. It's a steel cage match. I had no clue. I found out about it on the internet. And says he doesn't know what the hell is going on, la, 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 la. You know, so he's got a gripe, and people are ticked off about him. And he's just like, hey, if they want to keep putting me in matches against Brock, then I'm going to win the Universal Championship at some point. Which was this extremely weird promo, like you said, because number one, you just lost a championship match, and they're gifting you another one. Why would you complain about that? I guess this whole thing was supposed to be kind of this insider look at, oh, well, Brock is an awesome businessman and Vince sees him as the biggest star and the biggest box office. And that's why they re-signed him. That's why they're bringing him back. And that's why he won the match as well, because we all know Roman was going to win the match. And that obviously did not happen, because they're trying to make it out like, you know, Brock is Vince's golden boy, and he politicked to keep the championship without flat out saying it that way. But that's the way, if you look at it in hindsight, it really comes off.
It's so weird. And the layers of this story kept getting weirder throughout the next day, because I think it was as Raw was happening, we were doing some kind of digging in. Some people were saying that Brock Lesnar had been signed to a new multi-year deal that allowed him to kind of have options to fight in UFC at the exact same time while he was still doing WWE and be back in the USADA testing pool. I think it was Meltzer the next day was saying that he was only signed to what he believed to be a shorter term deal, and he doesn't even know if it extends much beyond the Greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view, not pay-per-view, network special, right. Whatever. And so those two conflicting stories were happening at the same time Tuesday morning.
And then on top of that, there was a timing thing from a standpoint of, not only do we not know exactly how long the championship or how long he resigned for, and I think we'll all know, like, once they do the Greatest Royal Rumble show later on this month, because I think the belief is if Lesnar drops the title there, then he's gone, right?
Yeah, right.
But there's a lot of question marks that go in there. Plus, there was the timing thing about when everybody knew.
Yes.
So
the thing was, is that there was reports that broke that Brock Lesnar, after the show, had his heated confrontation with Vince McMahon, and Shane McMahon got involved with that.
Right.
And that was the other kind of crazy story cropping up this. And then the truth came to light, to your point about when did people actually know, number one, he had resigned, number two, the outcome of the match.
Yeah, it looks like most people didn't even know the day of, like, who was winning the match. There was a couple people that knew. But I believe, like, the entire creative team didn't know until the three count went down. Like, obviously, the referee knew about it, but it was a select number of people that knew.
Well, they were saying the referee got told, what I read, maybe this was on a dirt sheet, dirty sheet, but it was that the referee got told halfway through the match that when the count comes up, count it.
Might be. I mean, I know that happened during the Taker match when the streak got broken. But, the referee either knew, like, shortly before the match or like during the match at some point. So it wasn't like he knew well in advance as well. And Reigns, it sounds like, didn't find out till that day. Like, he gets to the building like, oh, by the way, you're not leaving as a champion, even though this has been the plan all along, because we know the reaction this crowd's going to give you. So we're not going to do it. And then remember on the go home Raw, it was all these talk about Brock Lesnar's going to walk, and you know, if he you know, doesn't win the championship, Heyman, you know, is talking about he's going to walk. They also said this could be the last time you ever see us on Raw. Heyman was doing interviews all week about that, and that's because he already knew, because like they had the deal in place like on Monday, but nobody knew that meant the title change was going to happen. So there's still a lot of question marks that go into this. There's some talk by some that believe that this might all be more negotiating tactics with Lesnar when it comes to UFC, because we all thought like he's going to UFC, right? And you know, he hasn't signed it. He's still under contract with UFC. I think he might still be under contract from the last time, where he has fights left on his deal. But that could be like an old thing where he's like, I'm not fighting under those terms, you know, and I'm going to fight, you know, I need a new contract or whatever. But regardless, there's some belief that's like he's just pitting UFC and WWE against one another so he can get another sweetheart deal. Because like he even got this deal, however long it's for more money per match or whatever than in the past. I mean, he still has a suspension to serve when it comes to UFC. So people are of the opinion now, like, I'll believe it when he comes to UFC, when he enters the USADA testing pool, because he has to do that to get the clock moving on his suspension, and he has to serve out that suspension before he can, you know, get back and fight.
Brock Lesnar is probably smart to overlap this, because you want to capitalize. He's a moneymaker, right? So you want to make money where you can. And if I can go back into the USADA testing pool while at the same time kind of wrapping up my WWE career or whatever that looks like, whatever, it's a good idea, right? Smart business, smart money. Roman Reigns is, again, the odd card here. You asked me about his promo on Raw for Monday night, and I don't know how I feel about it, because I said, you know, I kept speculating they're going to flip the title on Monday Night Raw. Now, doing it in Saudi Arabia makes a whole lot of sense, because it protects Roman Reigns. If the reasons that are online are true, which is Vince McMahon didn't want to see Roman Reigns retain that night, or win it, I should say, that night, because the crowd was so against him, doing the change in Saudi Arabia makes a whole lot of sense, because Roman Reigns will be in front of a very friendly crowd, right? We're going to assume the Saudi audience is more pro babyface. They're going to do more of kind of what they're told. I had asked some fans or some friends about how was the audio Sunday night, and I definitely think WWE is mucking with the audio outside of live shows. I heard that the reaction to Roman Reigns was not as dire or vehement as it was on Sunday night when we heard it.
I do agree with you, though, that I think a Saudi audience, they're going to be more typical root for the baby faces, beat the heels.
So if you really want to try to make Roman Reigns the guy in the nicest way possible, then that's what you're going to do. Now, I would still, though, like to see something happen where, because keep in mind, that is one night only. Roman Reigns still has to come back to America and do what he does every week. And I think fans will accept him begrudgingly, but I don't think it's going to be a pretty road. So I still think, do the turn, baby. Make Roman Reigns side with Paul Heyman, right? If Brock Lesnar really is moving on, do the flip. Or, you know, let's let Brock Lesnar retain again. People were like kind of weird about it Sunday night. Right? People were like really, really upset that Brock retained.
Yeah, it was a strange feeling when we left that show. It was strange on Monday too. Like we were going there, like we're outside of the building. We're doing a Facebook Live video, and I think some people were walking by as we said news today that Brock Lesnar's resigned, you know, and whatever. And there's some people that walk by. They're kind of like, what? What do you mean Brock Lesnar's resigned? Or, you know, we mentioned like he's got this other match coming up. Like people are kind of like slowing down to listen to us because they didn't know about the news yet. And so it's all just a very interesting thing from like, I mean, Brock can wrestle while he's still in the USADA pool. Does he want to do that? I don't know. Does he really want to fight, or is he willing to fight? But at the same time, he really wants just another WWE deal. Like he's obviously a very shrewd businessman when it comes to this. And there's the aspect obviously of how long is his contract? Is it for just to go through the end of the month so he can do the title switch over in Saudi Arabia? Is it for something that's longer than that, whether it's through SummerSlam or longer? I originally thought, just off the top of my head, didn't know this, but, or I don't know what the terms are obviously, but I thought it makes sense. Like, okay, he re-enters the testing pool, and then in the meantime, he assigns a deal that takes him through, say, SummerSlam or something like that, right? And he could still make a bunch of money from WWE, and he's already back in the testing pool. But I don't know if that's the case. We got to see, because this could be a multi-year deal. It could not. I tend to think it's not. And it's going to be, I think we're going to go through another round of speculation coming up here where we're trying to find out the information now, but I think come the end of the month after they do the show in Saudi Arabia, even if Lesnar loses the title, I think there's going to be a lot more talk too. Like, okay, is he negotiating with them? Is he re-signing with them? Is he still under contract with them? You know, and he's always got leverage, especially because Vince McMahon loves him. And there's a reason for that. I mean, he's a box office draw. So Brock holds all the cards when it comes to this, and he's going to play it out to whichever way benefits him the most. I mean, hell, this whole thing with the UFC, he might be playing, you know, Dana White. I don't know for a fact that he is. Obviously, none of us do, but would anybody be surprised if he did?
No. I mean, who knows?
I mean, he could sign a new contract with WWE for 2 years, and he can put it in there. It says, I get to go back to the UFC and have another fight.
Here's my thing about it. I think Brock Lesnar is a much more interesting property as a future UFC fighter than a future WWE wrestler. I think we've seen this from Brock Lesnar. We've seen what he's going to be. We've seen the way they're going to book him. I don't know that I am interested in that anymore. Now, that being said, you offer me a dream match like Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam or next year's WrestleMania. Heck yeah, I'm back on the Brock Lesnar gravy train. Let's make this happen, right? But for where he is right now, just being at the top of the card, and I think what you've said this numerous times, the mystique of the F5, and to a certain extent, the mystique of Brock Lesnar is dead, partially because we saw Roman Reigns kick out of about 15 of them on Sunday night. But also, it's just, we're at this stage where that doesn't, you know, Suplex City isn't a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's, right? I mean... They tried to make it, but I mean, Lesnar has worked different kinds of matches, you know, for the past year. And, you know, the way that they used the F5, even the other night, I mean, I thought that was quite ridiculous, to say the least. I mean, there's so many other things that Brock Lesnar could do rather than just hit the guy with his finisher over and over and over. So, you know, here, how about we play out this scenario? What if he goes to the UFC and he has a fight against, whether it's Daniel Cormier or Stipe Miocic, who we're
going
to be fighting.
Because they're saying that he is going to be booked pretty high on, I say booked, but he is going to be positioned pretty high on the UFC heavyweight division.
Right.
And that he will potentially be fighting for a heavyweight championship.
Right. So Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier are going to be fighting in a couple of months for the heavyweight championship, which Miocic has right now. Okay. So no matter who wins, imagine once Lesnar goes through the testing period and say he goes through it all, it's unscathed, he goes back to the UFC. What if he won the UFC championship? Okay, but what if he was also under WWE contract at the time? I mean, because then he'd be like, hey, I got to take on another fight. You know, I don't know if that would be in a contract or not. Or what if he wasn't under contract with WWE, but he won the heavyweight championship, and then WWE quickly said, we got to get you under contract here. I mean, Lesnar could be like, hey, you know, before it was like $7 million a year. Well, hell, I got more leverage now. Make it 10, you know? I mean, there's a lot of other little things that could be going on here, some other layers, because we saw it the last time where he decided to re-sign with WWE. But then a couple of months, and he said, my career is over, you know, in the octagon, I'm done fighting. And then a few months later, it's like, Brock Lesnar's returning to the UFC to fight Mark Hunt. We're like, what? Like, I thought he said he was retired. I you know, and WWE signed off on it because Brock said, hey, I want to fight. And if you don't let me fight, I'm not going to show up. And, you know, they were like, oh, we got to have Brock Lesnar here. So,
I think you speculated heavily back then that they were going to eventually try to give him both the Universal, and if he won the UFC championship, have both belts, which would have been interesting. But
I'm WWE, I salivate at that opportunity of saying, I could have this, you know, I mean, there's something about, you know, Vince is like,
both two belts. Two. Give him three belts.
Don't you dare call
Maybe
that
he
a
can
belt.
Be the tag team championships.
Don't you dare call that a belt.
Give him four titles.
Championship. Come on, man. There's no belt.
Let me ask you this, Brian. I am really confused. So Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns was advertised in a press release for taking place at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Right? So that tells me that this is a what I would consider a continuity, in continuity pay-per-view. It is one of these shows that they are treating like all their other pay-per-views. Storylines are going to carry over into it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then on Monday night, also, The Miz came out and said he was going to cash in his rematch. And you got to give The Miz props here. He needs some time to rest and recover and all that stuff. So he didn't want to do it in front of that lame Monday night audience. The Miz is cashing in his rematch for Backlash in a few weeks. When is Backlash?
WWE Backlash is on May 6th after the show in Saudi Arabia.
Right. So he wants to wait a few weeks to cash it in. But also, if I remember correctly, that same night, in fact, literally the next promo segment, commercial advertisement, whatever, they said it was going to be like a five-way ladder match featuring The Miz for the IC title or the IC championship or the IC belt, whatever you want to call it, at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
It's actually a ladder match between Seth Rollins, The Miz, Samoa Joe, and Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. And I guess The Miz is talking about his one-on-one rematch.
So does that mean, so let's speculate.
Does that
here,
mean The Miz is not leaving Saudi Arabia with the IC title? Probably.
Does that mean when The Miz wins in Saudi Arabia and wins over the affection of the Saudi crowds that come back last, he just gets the night off?
Well, wouldn't he have to give a rematch back to Seth because he's a former champion that would be owed a match?
Listen,
let me ask you this one, though. Why does Roman Reigns get another match at Brock Lesnar? Isn't there anybody else that deserves a shot at the championship?
I will say this. So Monday night after Brock Lesnar or after Roman Reigns' little
Vince McMahon doesn't like me and change and finish the match promo.
Yep. Which is not a true shoot promo. We know that was scripted. Whatever. I have to say Samoa Joe cut the best damn promo, not only that he's cut in WWE, but the best damn promo he's cut in years.
Dude, Samoa Joe left that show as like one of the biggest stars in the company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe comes out there and he starts talking about, let's all break out the tinfoil hats because Roman thinks there's a conspiracy. And, you know, he went in there and he talked about how he got exposed by Lesnar, who beat him up so bad, and said, you failed. And you know what that makes you? A failure. And it says, you're a liar. You lied to your fans. You lied to your family. And he went out there and said, you know, Lesnar's getting richer. And no matter how many times we tell the story, you've got an excuse. Brock Lesnar's going to beat you, and you're just going to lose all the time. And he says, I'll be waiting for you at Backlash, and I'm going to put you to sleep. So we've got Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe at Backlash as well. And by the way, WWE right now is in the process of promoting two big shows at the same time because they have to promote both the Saudi Arabia show, the Greatest Royal Rumble, and Backlash as well.
Well, and they're treating Backlash as a big deal, too. It's not just another B-level pay-per-view, but it is the first co-branded pay-per-view outside the Big Four since we are under the new brand.
Are you trying to say, Michael, it's not the one time a year that the stars of Raw and the stars of SmackDown go head-to-head?
No. I mean, it's not the one time a year. It's not even the one time a year they get extreme. Right. They only get extreme one night a year.
They've done away with that, so we get the dual-branded pay-per-views now.
I mean, we could see Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar, right? I mean, they just left it open that Samoa Joe gets the winner of that match, essentially.
Well, I mean, Backlash is after Saudi Arabia.
So he would, as I'm saying, so if Brock Lesnar wins in Saudi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe is going to get Brock Lesnar at Backlash.
And he's getting Roman Reigns. I mean, because Brock Lesnar doesn't have to defend the championship at Backlash necessarily.
I thought he said he had. I remember the promo. It was forgettable.
But Samoa Joe came out there and he eviscerated Roman Reigns. Yeah. I mean,
it was good.
I mean, like,
no, it was really good.
But here's the thing, okay? What is with the booking of Roman Reigns? I'm like, are they starting to turn him heel or what was going on this night? Because you're not going to make the man sympathetic with him coming out there and talking about, yep, got my ass kicked, you know, but he's trying to create this whole thing of, well, I'm not Vince's golden boy. That's Brock Lesnar. Come on. We all know that. Look at this deal he gave him. He goes, oh, look at Lesnar's negotiating, you know, and make sure that he keeps the championship when we know that I was supposed to get it that night, you know, kind of like in this, I'm not going to say it flat out, but you can kind of connect the dots kind of thing. And then Joe comes out there and just lays it out there as plain as day and just ruins the guy. It's just like, how am I going to have any sympathy for Roman Reigns? Because what Joe just said, it's all true.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's the idea that if they say it enough, they put it out there on TV enough, that we'll eventually believe that Vince McMahon is not really supporting Roman Reigns in the same way he is Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I see through that, and I think most of the smarter wrestling fans see through that, but they're probably just trying to win over those casuals who have joined the Roman Reigns hatred bandwagon.
Right. So let's talk about let's talk about SmackDown a little bit. So SmackDown, we only got one debut. I say one, but it was actually two. So Iconic comes up. They're not even the Iconic duo anymore. They have to be Iconic. But it was Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. And they come up and they interfere with Charlotte. Charlotte's cutting a promo talking about winning the championship. And then the Australian girls come out. I think they're a fantastic duo. I love the act. I think they're great. Mm-hmm. And they came out there and they did exactly what I was afraid of. And it was something you had kind of predicted before, that something like this could happen without saying it was going to be them. But you said it could happen with, you know, somebody's going to do this. And that they go out there, they attack Charlotte, Carmella cashes in, and she is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And I get why they did it. I understand now you got a lot of different people that Charlotte can feud with, whether it's Carmella, whether it's Peyton Royce, whether it's Billy Kay. You got a lot of different things there. I'm just not a fan of them doing that because Charlotte beats Asuka at WrestleMania on the biggest stage of the year. And no, like most people did not expect her to win that match and end Asuka's unbeaten streak to keep the championship. She has this big signature win on the biggest event of the year. And then the next time that she's out there on SmackDown, boom, title gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the moment still carries over. I think that Charlotte doesn't lose anything by this. I mean, she literally did lose something. She lost her belt. I mean, title on Tuesday
night.
Well,
it's not like she, at least it was like a title defense. It wasn't like she just won it at WrestleMania.
Right. So I'm saying like she doesn't lose much by this because they went so over the top with the beatdown and made her look so beat up that I think the Carmella cash-in came really good time. You know, this was going to happen. If you are really talking about next year building towards Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey, and we said this in the other podcast, it's going to be at WrestleMania. It's going to be on the Raw brand for that build because that's Vince McMahon's baby, especially if it is going to main event the show. And you can't have Charlotte as the women's champion on SmackDown if she's going to be feuding on Raw.
I'm going to book that out for you here in a second. I got the whole thing how they're going to do that.
She's not even, she can't carry over that belt because that belt is literally blue. So it's literally blue, true and true, right? And so I think if Asuka would have won Sunday night, I think she would have retained against Carmella. But since we know Charlotte's moving, this was a smart way to get the belt off her. And Carmella gets a nice rub. I don't think Carmella's going to be a long-term champion. I mean, that belt is like bigger than Carmella, right? So how long can she be a champion with that? But it was a fun moment, and it was a fun pop for the crowd. And I honestly have no issue with it.
By the way, I skipped over this when it comes to Raw. They actually opened the show with Ronda Rousey and Stephanie McMahon. Like, Stephanie comes out there, and she's all talking up. Everybody acts like she's talking about Ronda, but she's talking about herself. She's praising herself, whatnot. And then she gives Ronda all the kudos and said, "You went out there. You're a great athlete. You won. You did exactly what we wanted." They bring out Ronda. Ronda's just standing there, and Stephanie's like, "You're great. You're fantastic. You know, you're such a star, and now you need to work with me, and we can take you to another level and take WWE to another level." And basically, they are redoing the Vince McMahon, Stone Cold Steve Austin angle that we saw years ago. And Ronda, gives her a hug at the end of this and instead puts her in an arm bar. And Stephanie goes out and needs medical help. And she already had her arm like in a sling or she had it all done up or whatever anyway. So then she needed medical help to get out of there. So that's the storyline they're going to go with Ronda, is it's going to be her and Stephanie and whatnot. And that's why, like, they're doing the superstar shakeup, you know, next week. And we'll give some predictions for that. I do not think Charlotte is going to Raw yet, because I think that she's got business to attend to with Carmella and with, you know, Royce and Kay. And she can stay over there for a while, because remember, they do the superstar shakeup, you know, a couple times a year, right?
Then No. They only do it once a year, right?
No, they did it twice last year.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. They do it a couple of times.
I want to look.
They do it
up.
A couple
WWE
of times.
WWE 2017 Superstar Shakeup.
They did it twice.
They did it once. They did it in April, dude.
No, they did it later in the year as well.
No, who got traded later?
They did it later in the year, man. I can't be crazy.
Yeah, I think we kept thinking it was going to happen. I think all that happened was that John Cena became a free agent, but I'm pretty sure
they moved some other talents around. Hold on, I'm bringing it up right now because I feel like I'm going crazy, okay?
Yeah, I think you are.
There's no way I can be going this crazy. Didn't they move some talents later in the year?
Maybe.
Okay, here we go. Okay. June 14, it was revealed John Cena, who had been on hiatus, became a free agent. He returned to I'm crazy.
I told you.
Why was I thinking that they moved some talents around again?
I don't know. I remember we speculated they might do that. I don't think it ever happened, though.
Hmm.
I mean, let me just say this right here.
Because my whole thing was, like, they moved Charlotte, like, later in the year.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, she joins up with Stephanie. She turns heel. And she's like, what Stephanie wants as a corporate champion because Ronda won't play ball.
Yeah, that's a great storyline. Maybe Stephanie recruits her. Maybe they do something like that where Stephanie gets her in a trade. I mean, there are ways to still get her over there.
Charlotte is the quintessential champion. Everything you're looking for, you know, the lineage, yes, the look, the name, everything. All of it, you know. She's exactly what you want. And like, if you're not going to play ball, then that's fine. I got somebody that's even better than you, you know, all that kind of
stuff.
Well,
it's, you know, we talk about superstar shakeups and all that jazz. I don't understand why we're doing superstar shakeups 2 weeks after Mania, 2 weeks before the Greatest Royal Rumble, 3 weeks before your next pay per view.
There's
so
backlash
much,
because just extend it out a little bit more and you get a pop. Look at all, I mean, they are doing so much stuff right now between we just did WrestleMania and you got the shakeup and then you've got the Greatest Royal Rumble and then you got back. There's just so much big things going on right now. It's like, why can't you wait until, I don't know, the beginning of June or at least end of May to kind of keep something, you know, to pop another rating or whatever?
And if you do it immediately after a pay-per-view, you get over all the awkward matchups that are like cross-branded matchups and the winner takes the
last
title to their home brand.
Last time we're going to see this person on SmackDown.
That's right. Know. Ever.
Right. So, yeah. I don't get it. They're cramming in a lot of stuff right now. But, you know, here's another thing that I was a little bit surprised by, okay? Daniel Bryan comes back for the big emotional win at WrestleMania. And, you know, he has his moment or whatever. But then on SmackDown, he never gets to talk. Like, they didn't build it up into a big deal. Now, mind you, they did do Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, which that's got some people talking about that one. Because, like, I heard that was the match they had announced while I was in my marathon session of sitting around at the airport in New Orleans that night. But, I don't know. I didn't know how to feel about it. Like, I was just like, oh my God, they're giving that away on free TV. And then once I saw the match and they had Nakamura interfere, that was just like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense because there was no winner and they can obviously bring it back and they can put it on, you know, a bigger show. They can put it on a pay-per-view, whatever they can do. However, there is some kind of thought of why they do it in the first place then? Why not build it up to like this big moment? And I guess WWE's kind of thinking their booking style is like, well, we teased everybody there. You got to see a little bit of it. And then obviously we'll bring it back where there could be a finality to it because there was no finality, you know, on this one. But there is a sense of, well, first time we've seen it in WWE, why do it in the first place like that?
Yeah, it's kind of a throwaway match on this show on SmackDown Tuesday night. But it was a nice little pop for the audience. I knew it was going to end in disqualification, right? That's why you book it that way. It does, you lose the chance to be able to say first time ever, but WWE doesn't seem to care that much for first time ever matchups anymore. They just don't. They don't really like to hype that up. They did it with, you know, Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton a couple years ago. But outside of that, even John Cena and Undertaker, they don't go down the whole first time ever, let's make it a big deal thing. They just let the story of the characters kind of tell itself. So they were going to get past that, I think. I think they wanted to kind of break the seal on that. But to your point, they also think in their minds, we're teasing this for a future. Also, let's not lose sight of this. It puts monster heat on Shinsuke. Shinsuke on SmackDown cut, you know, we talk about Samoa Joe cutting one of the all-time great promos on Monday Night Raw. Shinsuke cut one of the all-time great promos on Tuesday Night SmackDown for a completely different reasons. He was just completely, you know, snarky, jackassy. Right. Renee asked him about his actions from Sunday night, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. And then he winked real big. And I am loving everything about Shinsuke Nakamura heel, and I hope that it goes some really cool places. And you know, he interrupts the end of the match, gets more heat on him in front of that crowd. I'm cool with that decision overall. Except for the fact that somebody please send Daniel Bryan to a tanning booth or get him some bronzer because dude is pale.
Nah, he's Irish now. You know that?
Blinded by the light over here, right? Okay.
Did you notice, too, when it came to that match, that Daniel still does, like, his trademark WWE stuff, but there was a little bit more mat wrestling than we'd see before? I think we've seen, like, a little tweak in his style. I know it's very early on. It's only, like, his first one-on-one match since coming back, but that was one of the things I took away from that. Maybe it's also a point, like, we don't want to give away too much. You know, it's the first time we've ever had this meeting here on this stage, and we want to, you know, hold that for down the line, but... You know, he did a couple of the things when it came to the kicks, and, you know, he did the flip out of the corner and whatnot. But there was a lot of other mat-based stuff where it was like, you don't have to worry about high-impact stuff. You don't have to worry about hitting the head. Plus, he'd always talked about he's going to tweak his style a little bit if he comes back. It wasn't like a massive change, but there was those subtleties to it that I will see if that is, in fact, the case, you know, in the coming weeks when he gets back in the ring more. The other thing was, I think a lot of people were surprised, like, oh, damn, they're really going full-time with this guy. Like, there's no waiting. Like, boom, you know, right after WrestleMania, there he is. He's back out there, and he's having a match again.
Wasn't it? It was so weird. I told my wife this. So surreal to be sitting there watching SmackDown and have him advertise for a match and then have him wrestling. It's just, I mean, you know, Mania was what it was. There's some kind of spectacle to that, and you feel like, oh, yeah, this is WrestleMania. Something different happens here. But on weekly television, Daniel Bryan wrestling in a match and against AJ Styles was just a really cool but very odd moment in my life.
Do you want to... Let's give some predictions for the Superstar Shakeup, and then we'll run down the Greatest Royal Rumble, because there's some news about that one, okay?
And we're going to be talking a little bit about the Andre doc here in a few minutes, too.
Yeah.
So if you did watch that this week, we did see it, too. And over the weekend, we haven't talked much about it, but we have some opinions on that as well.
So when it comes to the Shakeup, I also think it's not just going to be a Shakeup, and I don't know this for a fact. I think there could be some more call-ups from NXT.
Okay.
I thought we were going to see two other people on SmackDown. I thought Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega was going to get called up for SmackDown. And I thought Sanity was going to get called up for SmackDown. They still could. And I still think that they are headed to the main roster. I don't know that for a fact, obviously. It's just looking at what they did at the tapings, and I'm not saying anything. But...
spoiler, Brian.
Cuckoo boy, man. You know, I stay away from that on the Twitter, you know. Yeah, I know. And by the way, yes, wow. I did take a couple of pictures and I tweeted them out from the tapings, but it was just the people standing around and talking. There was nothing of matches. Didn't spoil anything. They didn't even announce anything. The next takeover isn't until June. It's after Money in the Bank. It's in Chicago, so... I have an idea of what they're going to do for that, but I don't know. It's since there's still a couple of months, that's something they could, there's stuff they could do on TV rather than wait till takeover. I'm trying to remember but I think those guys could all get called up. I don't know for a fact. And I mean, there's other people that could as well, or they could just stay right where they're at. So I don't know exactly, you know, what the mindset is right now. Like, is it just a shakeup or could it be a call up as well? Now, when it comes to people on Raw and SmackDown, I don't know if they do both of them, but I think The Miz and or Seth Rollins could be on the move.
Sure.
I wouldn't be opposed to both of them, but I think at least one of them, I think, is going. I think Alexa Bliss is definitely moving after losing to Ember on Monday night.
Can I give a few speculations,
please,
as well? Because I think Randy Orton could be moving to Raw.
Yep, I could see that.
And I think with him, we might see Bobby Roode, but possibly Jinder Mahal going to Raw as well.
I think Jinder, if they move whoever the IC champion is, then obviously Jinder as well. So I could see that. And then either Orton or Roode, one of those two, I think, would go. My guess would be Orton, but yeah. I could see Bobby. I'll tell you one guy that I am deathly afraid they could move and I do not want to see happen, and that is Daniel Bryan. I want Daniel and Shinsuke and AJ to all be on the same brand. If they want to put Seth over there, I'm not going to be opposed to it. You've still got Bobby Roode over there. You've got a lot of different possibilities of different guys there. So I want to see all those guys stay in the same brand. I think Natalya is on the move. After she lost on SmackDown, don't think who else they might be interested. I think New Day. I think New Day is going to move. And I think Anderson and Gallows, I think, could be moving as well.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some more that we haven't even thought, because every year we're like, I don't think they're going to move too many. And they,
I think Drew's getting a call up to Raw or SmackDown.
I think Drew McIntyre, he's ready. I mean, we didn't see him, but he was around during the week. He was doing autograph sessions and whatnot. So I think he could be a part of that as well. And I'd be very interested to see where they put him and how they would use him, because you're in a situation right now, like, okay, does he go to Raw? Does he go to SmackDown? What kind of storyline do you put him in immediately? And if you do that, if you bring him up now, I think Drew is going to succeed wherever he's at, but there's always the danger of there's so many things going on right now. The rosters are loaded. We're moving people around. We've got the greatest Royal Rumble. We've got Backlash. I think there's always a fear of, could somebody get lost in the shuffle? Because when you come out there, like we said early on, like, you got to make an impact right off the bat.
Yeah. I hope that if they do call up Drew, that he gets projected into something a little bit higher up. But also, if you put him on Raw, you could have Drew versus Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm. Right? If Jinder moves, yeah. Whatever brand he's on. Like, I mean, Drew, I mean, you talk about the, you know, big guys versus big guys kind of stuff. I mean, you put him on Raw, you've got Strowman, you've got Reigns. We don't know if Lesnar's going to be sticking around, but if he does, there's potential for that. There's a lot of different things you could do on either brand. You know, you could do a lot of different things with Drew. It's just, we'll see, you know, if he gets called up now or what, or hell, he might end up remaining in NXT. We don't know. I mean, that I'm sure that's something that could be out there, because spoiler alert, everybody, he was not on the tapings on Wednesday night, or at least in front of the cameras. So we don't know. Did they do something with the backstage? You know, the next takeover, like I said, isn't for a little while. So just because he wasn't on these tapings doesn't mean he couldn't be on the next ones, and he's still in NXT. So, you know, and the thing is, too, like, we always look at these shakeups going, oh, they're not going to move too many people around. And then it's like, oh, my God, they moved 15 talents, you know? I mean, I do think that we're going to get that situation again where, like, what the hell? Why they moved everybody around. I think we're going to get a massive shakeup.
Yeah. The thing I don't like is, I feel like too often superstars get moved back and forth, and that ends up creating situations where just when a feud is getting good, they take them away and move them somewhere else. But it also does kind of even the playing field and make things feel refreshed. So it's always a good time of the year to kind of check in and what's happening on SmackDown, what's happening on Raw. We've all been talking for weeks about how SmackDown kind of got dull for a while. I thought this week's episode was really good, and I hope they keep the good momentum going and some smart talent trades here and there. Maybe Rusev gets moved over to Raw.
Yeah,
that would
good.
Be a
I hope
a
you,
fun
you
little
better
thing.
Get Aiden English to go with them. I'll tell you that.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. No, I did like SmackDown this week. I thought Raw was funny. It was like Raw was 2 hours of like setting up angles and short matches, and then the third hour was all matches.
Right.
You know, and then SmackDown, it just felt a little bit more concise. It kind of felt like they got back to the formula that they had before. And so much, it's funny, you bring back one guy in Daniel Bryan, and it feels like a totally different show.
True. Well, and Daniel Bryan's a good case of, he's been on the shelf for so long now. There are so many matchups they could do with him that they couldn't do, that they have not done 2 or 3 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Because the field has changed to a certain extent. He's wrestled some of these guys, but they were just kind of coming into their own. Now, a Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins match feels new and fresh and exciting in a way that we haven't had those kind of matchups in the past.
Yeah. So, the Greatest Royal Rumble is coming up. It's actually going to be airing live on the WWE Network. It's going to be on Friday, April the 27th. It's at 4 p.m. Eastern, just because of the...
No. I thought it was, 4 p.m. Eastern.
4 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. So if you do not think this is a loaded show and Saudi Arabia is not very important to WWE, look at this card and it'll tell you a totally different story, because this is just the beginning of a 10-year partnership between WWE and the Saudi General Sports Authority. They must be getting some crazy kind of money, because I'm telling you right now, this is basically WrestleMania a month after WrestleMania.
No. It's 12. Okay. I was right. It's 12 p.m. Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It's 9. It is? Okay. I thought
12 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was 4.
No.
Show's starting. Oh, okay. Well, that works out even better for some of us.
Well, even worse for others of us, though.
but it is airing live on the network. I believe every championship, minus the women's championship, no women on this show, but all the other championships are on the line when it comes to the Greatest Royal Rumble. So they're doing the 50-man Rumble. There's going to be a lot of people doing double duty on this night. Daniel Bryan's in that. Braun Strowman's in that. Bray Wyatt. Chris Jericho's in that match. There's a ton of people. They're doing the steel cage match for the Universal Championship between Lesnar and Reigns. John Cena is taking on Triple H in their first one-on-one match in over a decade, I believe. They are doing the ladder match for the IC title that we mentioned before. They're doing the WWE Championship match. AJ Styles will defend against somebody, and we believe it's going to be a rematch with Shinsuke Nakamura. Holy crap. They're doing a casket match. The Undertaker is wrestling on this show. They announced the other day it was Rusev, but today they changed the match because, and this is the storyline they did, Lana went on Twitter and she so much did not want her husband participating in a casket match and she feared for her for his life. She went to WWE executives and got him out of the match. So instead, it will be The Undertaker against Chris Jericho in a casket match.
My God, can you, if you were Rusev and that happened to you, if this was real, kayfabe, right? Rusev should divorce that woman. He had a chance to fight in a pay-per-view, a major pay-per-view against a legend, and his wife caught
him
out.
I know, right?
Rusev's tweet, too, when they announced this Monday, or not Monday, but whatever day of the week it was such a weird thing happened, and Rusev immediately tweeted out, "Bury me softly, brother."
They're doing the SmackDown Tag Team titles. They're doing the Bludgeon Brothers against the Usos. The vacant Raw Women's or vacant Raw Tag Team Championship, it's going to be the Bar taking on either the Revival or Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. That match is coming up. What is it, next week or the week after? They're going to do the Revival against Hardy and Wyatt, and so the winner will get the take on the Bar. And then they're doing the Cruiserweight Championship match. Cedric Alexander will defend against somebody, and it's probably going to be Buddy Murphy. Mm. Oh, my God, dude. And by the way, the building that they are doing this show in, it holds like 60,000 people. It's at the King Abdullah International Stadium. They're going to do over 60,000 people. This is going to be WrestleMania after WrestleMania. I mean, there's going to be, I guarantee they're going to pyro this thing out. They're going to have a big set. They're going to do everything.
How
they must be getting so much money, man. It's crazy.
How long is this show going to be?
Oh, my God. That's the other thing, dude. This is 10 matches. It's got to be 4 hours, right?
4 hours?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Okay. It's nuts. It's nuts.
WrestleMania 2.
It's WrestleMania 34B is what we're going to call this. It's unbelievable. But you know what? You get the money and you make a big deal. I mean, because remember the whole thing with WWE right now, business-wide, it's about being a global brand, and we're over in Saudi Arabia, and they're handing over money by truckloads, so we'll take it, you know? So,
I mean, there's got to be some level of anxiety, though, just in the company and from the talent because of the nature of Saudi Arabia, right? We haven't talked a whole lot about this on the podcast.
Don't play up to stereotypical things, you know, and obviously no women. So, you know, stay to your character. You can be a heel. You can frown. You can make faces and whatnot, but keep it very basic, old school booking.
Well, so, I mean, it's for people who don't know, it is under Islamic law.
Yes, it is.
Also known as what's it? How do you say that? Sharia.
So Sharia law. No women. Like I said, there are no women on this show.
Yep. And then there's like lots of other things too. Like you can't drink in public. Like what all does Sharia law say? But you can't like drink in public, and you can't. I don't know.
I'm
relations with women.
I haven't kept up with my Sharia law lately. I have to look again.
We could go in there. We could have a reading of the Quran on the podcast.
Oh, my God. Dear Lord, dude.
I'm just saying, if we want to catch up. That's a Between the Ropes book club. Everybody read your Quran for next week's show. between the books. We found it. We did open it up. Our first ever venture outside of Between the Ropes. We have Between the Bread. Was that what
between
it was?
Between the Breads.
Between the Breads.
That's a real shop that we ran into in New Orleans. I mean, that's gimmick infringement if I've never heard it, okay?
We also missed our chance. We were going to do a Between the Aisles live from a, what is that, a Rousey's Market there
Rouse's,
in New Orleans?
Rouse's Market, yeah.
Rouse's. Ronda Rouse's Market right there in New Orleans. And I was explaining to Brian the ins and the outs, the intricate details of cross-merchandising in a grocery store. So
you're saying that to me as somebody that years ago, I worked at a grocery store for nearly 7 years and was a dairy frozen food manager at one point. And I've worked in grocery stores both with two different beer companies and with Nabisco.
So let me ask you a question, Brian. You said you were a dairy frozen food manager. How does that work every year when you do evaluations? Do you tell the food that it was doing good at being frozen? Or are there like, how do you evaluate
bad
the
yogurt.
Food that's frozen?
You spoiled too early. Bad yogurt.
That's probably true.
What's you want to talk about Andre the Giant?
I'd love to. But that was a did you see that old HBO put my tweet in their moment for that?
I did not. Wait, when did they do this?
This is the most popular tweet I've ever had in my life, okay?
When did they do this?
Me and my measly, like, 25 followers. I have more than 25. But the other day, so I guess, you can do, you know, moments on Twitter or stories or whatever they are, where you collect a bunch of tweets and then you can swipe through them. And I think it's kind of a weird thing. But they featured my tweet from over the weekend.
Because I had a tweet over the weekend and they liked it and I think they retweeted it, and then I sent another tweet the day of the Andre doc and I said congratulations to HBO and I said thanks for inviting us and congratulations on the event, and they didn't use either of my tweets.
23,000 impressions, which is, you know, quite a bit for my little measly.
How many new followers did you get? 8?
Oh, I don't know. I probably like 5. Yeah, this is one of the most engaged with tweets I've ever posted out there. But this is the truth, though. This is not a promotional thing at all. I said, by the way, I saw Andre the Giant this WrestleMania weekend, courtesy of HBO, and it was fan-freaking-tastic. Might be the best wrestling doc I've ever seen. It's a true human interest story of a larger-than-life human. Do not miss it.
So,
and it's a great... I cannot express this enough. There have been lots of wrestling documentaries over time, and even in the last couple of years, we've kind of refocused on Ric Flair. There was one on Jake the Snake and yada yada. This one took it to a different level. It was a great movie, and I think it told the story that extends beyond professional wrestling.
They had a lot of things that they had to try to get to with a finite period of time, and I thought they did a really good job in just laying it out, telling the story. You know, you can't get to everything, but you hit the high notes on it, you know, and really... explain the man. They didn't want to do a puff piece, but at the same time, they didn't want to make him out to just be a mean SOB. I thought they were able to cover the bases on everything. You know, well, we got to see it in a very unique atmosphere. In that, to tell the whole story, quite honestly, I had heard a rumor that they were going to be doing a screening of the documentary over the weekend in New Orleans. So, of course, I reached out to somebody and said, "Is this true? And if so, can I get in?" And they got back with me and they go, "You're in, you know, you and a guest." I was like, perfect. Me and Michael can go see it. And we got to go see it on Saturday afternoon. And there were some other WWE talent there and other members of the media. And there were some executives and whatnot, like Big Show was there and Titus was there. Charlotte was there and Mark Henry and Goldust. They were all there. And then right before they began airing the film, Linda McMahon sat down right in front of us, which was something. And I was just like, wow. We kept wondering like why those seats were empty. And I mean, they were reserved. And they did this big presentation. Byron Saxon did it first. Then it was Stephanie McMahon. Then it was, I believe, the president of HBO was there. But then we got to watch it in that atmosphere. And you could hear the room when it... you know, was laughing, or when there was a very serious thing, just how quiet the room got. I mean, we could tell Linda McMahon was brought to tears a couple of times during this movie. And I don't know if he did it this time, but I know in the past when, you know, Big Show has seen this before, he was there for the big premiere that they did in Los Angeles. He's not afraid to admit that he cried while he watched it. And it's like this a little emotional roller coaster of watching Andre's life and finding out of the details that you didn't know about him. And like, as much of a mythical figure that he was, and he was a legend in the world, just how rough of a life he also had with people making fun of him, or just how tough his life was from a standpoint that he couldn't live a normal life and he couldn't go out and be in public like most people. And he had to live a good chunk of his life like in seclusion.
Mm-hmm. The reaction to this documentary was really great on Saturday when we watched it. Now, there was a room full of business executives there as well. This is part of their WWE business summit they do as part of WrestleMania weekend, and they bring all their business people and their partners and sponsors and whatever together to kind of go through some things, and this was part of that. So this was a very pro WWE crowd, I feel like, but I think the documentary itself was good enough and it stands on its own enough that I think the reactions would have happened either way. The comedy was in there, the stories were funny, the stories were tragic, the stories were real, they were raw. This, just the things people said, I mean, they had a great lineup of people they interviewed in this documentary, and it just made a, I mean, Dave Meltzer was on there, of course, Shoemaker was on there, David Shoemaker,
Jerry Lawler was on there,
Hulk Hogan,
Hulk
obviously.
Hogan, Mean Gene Okerlund was in there, they had, yeah, Shane McMahon, there was a French journalist that was in there, I believe he was a journalist that was there.
Yeah, he was, and he was featured very heavily, and this guy was talking a lot more about Andre's backstory and his history growing up and his family, and it kind of colored the story about Andre in a way that I had never known before, just those elements that you didn't know. And Vince McMahon too, and I think this is what I was going to say was really cool for me, was Linda McMahon sat in front of us, and I found myself multiple times throughout the documentary, especially when Vince was on screen, and Vince, shortly after referee Tim White was talking about his friendship with Andre and saying how, you know, after he passed and talking about tearing up, he literally said there's no crying in wrestling. And then I think one of the next interviews was with Vince McMahon again, and Vince McMahon was talking about how much Andre and how special Andre was to him. And Vince was sitting there tearing up for the documentary, and I kept looking at Linda to see Linda's reaction, and I thought that was just a really neat little touch that we were fortunate to be a part of.
Yeah, it was just an interesting environment to see everything. You know, you mentioned there's a couple of the names there with Vince McMahon being in this, obviously Tim White, who, for anybody who didn't know, referee Tim White was assigned to Andre, and he was basically his chaperone. Everywhere that Andre went, Tim went with him. Tim just basically took care of him. And at first, it was a rocky start to the relationship, to say the least, but it evolved to where they became extremely good friends. There's a lot of different things, even, you know, when you find out about Andre's life growing up, just being around his family and them not knowing what was going on when it came to him growing and decided to get into wrestling. You see these early, early videos of Andre, you know, when he was still very thin, you know, he's out there and he's training to wrestle, you know, that was pretty incredible to see those things. Like they took you into Andre's home, you know, in France. They even did there at the end of it. They kind of bookmarked the movie with that, you know, where it was at the beginning and the end, where they have you over in France where he grew up, and you meet his family. You know, you find out about what Andre did here in the United States for his downtime. Like there's this city or this town in North Carolina, this tiny, tiny town where he went and he owned a home there. And that was where he just kind of chilled out and got away from the world. And he was accepted by this town where it wasn't some freak. It wasn't somebody that people like ran down the street to go meet or make fun of or anything like that. He could just be himself, and the whole community just accepted him like, oh, there's Andre, you know.
It was Ellerby, North Carolina, which is, I'm pretty sure I've been through as part of my adventures across the Carolinas here. It was a great story. And so much is made about Andre's drinking but they paint this such a sympathetic light, talking about the pain he was in and how alcohol was a coping mechanism, and focusing so much on the love that he gave to so many people, including all of his fans, and how those kind of sideshow attraction stories about Andre shouldn't define who he is. That he's just such an unbelievable character in professional wrestling history, but it's a reminder of he was an unbelievable character in human history. And that's a fantastic story you can't lose sight of. I can't express enough. Go watch this. Find a way. Free trial to HBO. Pay the $10 a month, whatever it is. Find a way to watch this documentary. Bring in your significant other. Bring in people you love. Cherish the memory of this man who meant a lot to us as wrestling fans, but also meant a lot to us as human beings.
it's on HBO, obviously, right now, and they're showing it all the time. But if you have HBO Go, I believe it's there, and it's probably on HBO Now as well. So it's on those platforms where you can access it at any time if you have HBO or you have access to an HBO account. So I would highly recommend it. Like you said, there's a lot of other things that you find out about Andre in just his life. Some things that you would expect, some things not. And I'm not going to give it away, but you find out some different things about when Andre didn't like people and how he would react, you know, and the people he did not like and what he did and different things like that. That was pretty incredible. And one of the most amazing things in the movie is the filmmakers went to France and they went to the hotel where Andre died. And there was actually somebody working there that was there the day that Andre passed away, and they were able to talk to him. I mean, that, and come to find out, that was just kind of like they went out there just on a whim, like, we're going to try to talk to his family. We're going to go and talk to other people in the community. We're just going to see who knew Andre. And when they went to that hotel, they just asked around, and their bellhop said, oh, yeah, I was here. I was the one that found out that he passed away. Yeah, and it's incredible, just the kind of the circumstances that the filmmakers, you know, found. But yeah, I highly recommend it. So go check that out. It was fantastic. So next week we got the Superstar Shakeup. We'll see exactly what's going to happen. Like we said, we think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be moving brands, and we'll see where they go forward when it comes to setting up some other storylines. We'll see what's going on with Brock Lesnar exactly, and see if more information comes out about possibly the length of his contract and how long he could be sticking around for and what's going on there. I mean, whether you like it or not, this is Brock Lesnar, and he's going to do what's best for himself and business-wise. And, you know, I guess we'll find out when we find out when it comes to Brock Lesnar. I don't know if he's going to be going on ESPN to announcing, you know, his new contract this time like he did the last time. And even then, we thought we knew everything we needed to, and then it wasn't too long after that he was going back to MMA.
You know what? You know what, Brian? It is. We lose sight of this sometimes this time of the year because it's so busy. So much is going on. We spend 20,000 hours a week podcasting, videoing, and everything else. But it is a fun time of the year to be a professional wrestling fan, and I love it. I love being in this moment, and I don't want to lose sight of how cool this is.
Yeah, it's a fantastic time to be a wrestling fan, and we didn't even get into the other things. We're not going to right now. We will in the next couple of weeks. But
you mean CM Punk's return?
No.
To the Octagon.
To the Octagon, exactly. No, well, we can talk more about the ongoing Bullet Club storyline. Oh, and also Alberto El Patron gone from Impact, and how they're having to try to cover that up now because they brought him in the first place and he screwed him over. so there's that aspect of it. But there's a ton of stuff that's going on right now, and it's a lot of fun things going on in wrestling. So we hope everybody's enjoying it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Rate and review us if you could. And you'll find us on all the different podcasting platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on the TuneIn app. So wherever you listen, please make sure you subscribe. Like I said, rate and review us. If you really want to support Between the Ropes, not spread the word, but also go to Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Between the Ropes. They have the different tiers there so you can get some bonus audio as well. And you can support us over there. And also make sure that you follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Between the Ropes. We're both on Twitter, as is the show itself. You can find it at Between the Ropes. Michael's at The Real Wiseman. And I am at Brian Fritz. So plenty more coming up. Next week is going to be another really big and I think exciting week when it comes to WWE. We'll have it all covered here on the Between the Ropes podcast. We will talk to you then.